exciting. Everybody getting hungry? Yeah, Ronnie Miller's gonna feed us next.
That's good food.
No pressure. Buy a Baptist church in Buy, Texas. You don't know where the Buy, Texas is? You can Google it. They'll probably leave you here. We get packages to our house over here. They Google our address and they drop it off over here at church. We can't find it. Or they interrupt our services. We don't touch that brother right there. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, so first off, our conference is at the end of October, last Saturday of October. You'll have an opportunity. We'd love to have you come visit with us. We've got a Saturday message going on. We'll take my glasses off. Isn't it interesting how we get older, you get new glasses, and they get to be less effective? What are these things for? You take them on, put them off, doesn't seem to make much difference. So last Saturday in October for our conference, thank you to the church. Thank you for the kindness you showed us, putting us up, feeding us, taking care of us. Thank you for the fellowship that we've had, the messages we have heard. Especially thankful for brother here, and I just rejoice in seeing the folks from Tulsa. I got, when they were without a pastor for a while, I got to go there and preach, and it's good to see them flourishing. Amen. The Lord sent the pastor there.
Amen.
It speaks truth. Let me read to you from 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now this idea of due time I want us to think about a little bit today. That's going to be kind of one part of my message. But due time. Due time, by the way, is God's time.
Right.
It's always God's time.
Always.
Nothing ever happens outside of God's will and God's time. That's the way it works. Interestingly enough, I miss Brother Kelly Henson. I always like Brother Kelly. I like to see him. And the first schedule, I thought, well, that's something. I'm going to be first preacher after lunch, so I'm going to be trying to keep people awake after they've got full belly. And then I get moved to keeping people from going to eat. So, but everything is in God's due time. I have learned that more in my life. Brother, I'm with you. I'm dumb as a rock. And I'm hard-headed as a rock. But the Lord in due time has been merciful and gracious to me, to the limit that I'm able to understand it. One of the things that I know is going to happen, or I strongly suspect, this is me personally, when I go home to be with the Lord, is I'm going to be just blown away by how little I knew and understood.
Right.
And
exactly.
And was able to just, of both lessons and blessings, I've been of that mindset, told the folks at Divide years before, and have been continuing to tell them. There is a multitude of blessings that I have experienced that I don't even know that I experienced.
Right.
There's times that the Lord in His mercy and grace, because I do believe what that scripture tells us, I believe in a sovereign God. Amen. We all do. But I believe that the Lord had my name in that book before the foundation of the world.
Yep.
And there was many of the times that I can look back in my life when I used to say foolish things, like, "Boy, I was lucky," or, but no, I was never not under the direction and protection and guidance of a righteous and holy and sovereign God.
Amen.
We see here in these verses the things that are good for us to know. Let me read from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Now, there was a time I did not know that. There was a time probably all of us did not know that or believe it. And some people to this day ask, I feel sorry for folks. I feel sorry for young folks right now in the world. The chaos that is running wild in the world is just unbelievable to me. And I wonder how these young folks, apart from an anchor in the family and in the family of God, are able to function.
Right.
Because they are getting overwhelmed with so much foolishness on so many sides. Stuff that even is beyond foolishness to me. But even in that era where I was brought up, I had, when I was a lost person, all of this verse of scripture would not have had any effect on me. I would have said, okay, well, yeah, I believe there's God, but I really didn't understand this verse. I didn't understand about a sovereign God who is supreme in power. And men like to look at power today. It's been spoken to us, been preached to us, about all the things that man has and all the things he looks to. Men look to politicians to think, well, they're going to fix our problem. Men think to look to money and they think, well, that's going to fix our problem. Men look to position or acquisitions and they think it's going to be solving their problem. And I used to think that way. But then, this sovereign God I'm talking about, and I've mentioned before, I'm simple-minded sometimes. And when we tell people about God, this God that I'm reading about right here in this book, people say, "He is a simple-minded fool. How can, with all the knowledge that man has, all the knowledge that man proclaims, all of the PhDs and etc., how can you believe such a thing? How can you believe in a thing that you've never seen, this mystical thing people tell you about? How can you believe it?" And I have a simple answer for them. It's because I have been overwhelmed by faith given to me by the grace of God.
Amen.
I've been overwhelmed by this faith to the point where I can't not believe it. So when somebody says something to me and it contradicts God and I just immediately discount it, then they go, "How can you discount it?" Because I've been overwhelmed by faith.
Yeah.
I don't have to rely on my own understanding anymore. I don't have to. I have one of far greater understanding who has been merciful to me. And in due time, he took all my objections and cast them to the side. And it didn't take him a long time. Like you talk about arguing with people, it didn't take him a long time to do that. He did it instantaneously. It's interesting, again, we're talking about the power of the supreme God.
Yeah.
One minute, there was in my foolishness and my folly, And the next minute, by the application of His Holy Spirit, I became that new creature.
Yes.
And so all of these things that before I would have mocked, sneered at, discounted, they became not only real to me, but they became the basis for my existence.
Amen.
And again, the natural man that this has not happened to, the lost man that this has not happened to, he has no frame of reference to understand what I'm trying to tell him. That's one of our problems, isn't it, brother? We're casting the net, but we're casting it in awful shallow water. People like to think very highly of their education. They like to think, but the more I have learned from the Lord and from this book, is the more I know that these poor folks are applying all of this to try to distance themselves from this sovereign, righteous, and holy God. They're trying to use all of their intellect, they're trying to use everything they can come up with to deny His existence and to separate Himself from them so that they can be at peace in the lie that they have.
Yeah.
That there is no God. There's not going to be any judgment. There's not going to be any accountability for my actions. So I can just go ahead and do and live and behave however I want to. And there's not going to be any accountability for it. And they pursue that belief and that knowledge so that they can discount God. I wonder sometimes if they would just apply just a fraction of that dedication to the reading and studying of this book. Many people I've talked to before about the Lord and witnessed to about the Lord are basing their disdain for, and they group us all together, their disdain for religion. They put us together with the Muslims and the Hindus. They put us together with everybody. We're all in that same group. We're religious. I'm not a religious person. I'm a saved person.
That's right.
But they've never once sat down. They're just going by what somebody else has told them or what somebody else, their grandparents had a bad experience. They've never once sat down and actually read the Scripture. Right. Now, again, if they're going to read the Scripture, it's going to benefit them. What? Yes, it's going to benefit them. Well, what if they hadn't been saved? What if they hadn't, they're not under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? It's still going to benefit.
Right.
There is power in the Word of God. Mama. There are lessons in the Word of God. I've challenged folks before. You show me anything you're facing that's not here and has not been addressed by God in His Word. It's there. Look for it. But oh, if the Lord does quicken, oh, if the Lord does implant His Holy Spirit within, then this is not going to become just an old dusty book, but it's going to become the living Word of God.
That's right.
And they will become inseparable from it. And then we got a frame of reference we can have a discussion with. That's one of our problems, isn't it, when we're trying to talk to people in the world. We don't have a frame of reference. Because they're so alien from God. But that is God's will too. It's okay. Psalm 113 verses 4 through 9 says to us, "The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." I want to make a point to you here, and it's coming in the middle of these verses I read. Verse 6, "Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in the heaven and in the earth." I tell people, I said, look, you need to get right with the Lord, because The Lord's coming back one day, and the events of the book of Revelation, if you've never read them, go read them, because they're going to happen.
Right.
This world is going to experience them. And I go back to the Old Testament and tell people about the Lord bringing His people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, about Him parting the Red Sea, about Him holding the sun still in the sky, about even something as simple as putting three fellas in a pit, or four fellas in a pit, with some lions and them not eating them. And they said, "You really believe all that?" Let me tell you something, friend. I marvel at it. Ha! So you don't believe it? No. Here's the thing I marvel at. I marvel that the Lord was able to restrain Himself to that limit. Well, what do you mean? I mean, I'm surprised when the Lord parted the Red Sea, He didn't part the entire all of creation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about when He stopped the sun in the sky, I'm surprised He didn't stop all things. These things that these folks look at and say, "Well, how could God do such a miraculous thing?" Friend, you haven't experienced God's miracles yet.
Right.
And if you want to have a conversation with the grandest miracle, the most amazing miracle of all, and there's wonderful what's there in the Bible. Some of them have been read to us already today. Lord Jesus spoke, the dead fellow come up out of the grave. I'm still amazed the Lord Jesus is preaching to people, and they get upset, pick up rocks, getting ready to stone Him, and He just walks through the middle of them. That's not normal. But the most personal and wondrous and amazing miracle that I personally can testify to and that I've seen, for the reference to this already, is my own actual salvation. Because y'all don't know me, not the way the Lord knows me. Brother was already talking about the sins we're going to do today and tomorrow, and said, the Lord already knows every one of those already forgiven me for, and I'm going to experience it. I'm going to experience the disappointment of sinning against my Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to experience it. So I know me. I know a lot of the depths. And yet, there is an entity, there is a being, by His good pleasure, in His due time, that took me out of my justly deserved damnation. And not only did He do it, He persuaded me of it. I know it. I am now free from sin. And I also know, wonders upon wonders, that it's not due to anything I've done or going to do or will do. Matter of fact, it is completely and utterly in spite of everything I've done and been doing or will do. He did it in due time because He wanted to. And if anybody has got an answer as to why He did that, why He wanted to, I don't know. Because I've shared with y'all before and I've shared with many folks. I can give you a multitude of reasons why He shouldn't have. He humbled Himself to deal with us.
Amen.
And not only did He humble Himself to deal with us one time, He humbled Himself to deal with us on a continuous basis. He wants us. He wants us, children, so desperately that He was willing to pay an unbelievable price. for us. And brother, to your point, how can we not desire to tell other people about that? How can we not desire to tell them about that? One of the other things that Satan has lied to them about, they believe that they've used their intelligence, and is to remove the idea of hell. I think they're perfectly willing to give up on the idea of heaven. Okay, I'm not going to spend eternity in paradise. Long as I don't have to spend eternity in hell, as brother told us last night. No, hell is real. And it doesn't end. And you do have a body, and you will feel, and it will burn. And it won't stop. And there is no end to it. Folks mistake us. They say, well, you're just holier than now. No. Anybody who will say that they are holier than now or acts holier than now does not understand their salvation.
No. I do not.
We are without merit in any fashion. There's no good thing about us. You cannot point to any good thing, nor can any man point to any good thing and say, this is why. Because I got news for you, somebody's done it better. One of the things I, in due time, was overwhelmed with, and a lot of people, well, in the mindset I came out of, that Armenian mindset. I like to say me. I like to say I accepted the Lord Jesus. I never had found that in Scripture. And that was where the Lord helped me out. Is that I had a wonderful brother I shared with y'all before that said, go show it to me in Scripture. If you can't show it to me in Scripture, then where did it come from? So it had to be from Scripture. And what is in Scripture is the Lord had to take me to the depth of the knowledge of my sins so that I'd know what He was saving me from. So I would know and understand that it took something as powerful as a sovereign God to save me from the depths that I was in due time. I don't understand that either. All of our names are in the book. Okay, well, why didn't He just put us all here at one time? Well, because He didn't. A good friend of mine likes to say, I don't understand everything I know about that. But it's because in due time I was overwhelmed by that grace and mercy. So I know it. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to ponder it. Because again, that's one of those other things about arguing. I don't have to waste time. I'm not going to argue with you, fella. Here's what the Bible says. Take it up with God. Good luck. It's not going to work. But as for my house, kind of like, I don't have any option. My options were removed by that overwhelming application of grace and mercy. I am God's child. Not because I want to be, even though I do, but because He made me His child. I can't help but be His child. And again, that offends some people. To me, I rejoice in it. I know how bad I mess up. And to know that none of that is in my ability to disrupt is a rejoicing thing. God, I can't mess you up. You're God. I'm going to read Psalm 97. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about Him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of His throne. A fire goeth before Him and burneth up His enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship Him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints, and he delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness of the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. We talked about God being the supreme in power, God being superior to all others. I want to tell you here, and this verse illustrates it, or these verses, God is also supreme in officiousness. Big word, isn't it? What does it mean? It means it's successful in producing the desired effect. God produces the desired effect. Now, I'm going to wait before I go sit and write my name down when I go to the polls. I hope you do too. And I've elected, voted for politicians before that got in office. They were not able to produce the desired effect I had hoped they would.
Right, right.
I've been in